Anybody.
Sure. You're supposed to say Alfred, not literally. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you have been doing for us. I just pray that you would just come right now, Holy Spirit, and speak to our hearts, speak to our lives, and just give Bob, God, whatever it is that you want to put in our hearts, God, whatever you want to teach us today, God. Strengthen his body, God, and strengthen his inner man, Lord. And bless him, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody know where I left off? I think we were on page 29, but yes. I just want to make sure. 29? Okay. So, we've been looking at the life of the intercessor. In other words, what makes up the lifestyle of somebody who's called to be an intercessor? And just a quick side note, because I notice this happens a lot of time. Don't feel overly, because I hear people a lot of, I ask people, you know, would you be willing to pray? And people talk, when they get into the prayer room, they're like, I don't want to pray at the mic. And they're intercessors. And people say, well, you're an intercessor. Why can't you pray? Don't feel bad about that. Being an intercessor and praying out loud in public is sometimes two different things. You have to train yourself for that praying out loud in public. And but I know people make comments all the time. What are you afraid to pray for? You're an intercessor, right? Being an intercessor, as you've seen from this class, is a little bit more involved than just praying. So one day they'll all understand that and they'll leave you alone. So as an intercessor, there's a few things that are characteristic of your life. First of all, you have a life of abiding in Christ. You live in the presence of the Lord. You learn to grow in your understanding of your oneness and your union with Christ. That Christ is in you, you're in Christ, your life is the life of Christ, and you learn to live out of that. You learn to abide within him. It's also a life of obedience. You learn that when God tells you to do something as an intercessor, that you need to do that. And you live in just simple obedience to what God asks you to do. It's also a life of dying to yourself. You realize your life is not your own. And you grow in that ability to lay aside your own desires, your own understanding, your own own will even sometimes to accomplish the will of God and to allow God to move as he wants to move. So continuing on with that, the life of the intercessor is also a life of hiddenness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus said, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus tells us to get alone with God. This actually becomes a way of life for the intercessor. Intercessors can be involved in public worship, public services, public prayer meetings and stuff. But for the real work of intercession, I know most intercessors find they need to have that time alone with the Lord. They need to get away. They need to be alone in private where nobody sees and nobody hears. And on that lines, most intercessors, the rest of the world and the church, know very little about what they do and may actually think that they're not involved and do nothing. It's a life where you get very little recognition. You have a call from the Lord. Sometimes the Lord gives you a watch, and every night at the same time, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're up like, you shoot up like lightning, you're wide awake, no reason. The Lord's called you to pray and to intercede. And you'll intercede till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden the intercession's done and you go to sleep again. Nobody knows that you do that. My mentor, who was an intercessor, he had a call from about 2 or 3 in the morning for 2-3 hours to about 5 o'clock in the morning every day of his life with the Lord. and nobody knew about it. But this man was interceding with the Lord against storms that were coming into this country, against major events that could have done great harm, interceding for people's lives that they never knew what he was doing before the Lord on their behalf. He never got that recognition. And this can be a little bit difficult because we as humans, we tend to move and accomplish things based on the recognition we get. So if we get no recognition, we usually tend to not want to do that anymore. We need that encouragement. But as an intercessor, what you learn to do is you learn to let God get all the glory. You learn how you turn all that glory and recognition over to God.
Bob.
Yeah.
A few months ago, I was not sleeping. Get up right about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. I've also called you so many times. Mm-hmm. And then I go in prayer but the burden was not there for intercession. I would not sleep. And it's not that I wanted to intercede, that's why I'm not sleeping. I didn't get to sleep, and that's why I was praying.
Many times the Lord, when he needs us to intercede, sometimes he needs us to know what he's praying and doing through us. He needs us directly involved in the intercession. Other times, because remember, as believers, what are we? We are the bearers of the life of Christ. Christ's life lives in us. So Christ, the Holy Spirit, can now pray through us. So sometimes God just needs us to be awake because there's something he needs to do. And by us being awake, we're cognitively allowing Holy Spirit to move through us as he needs to. We may never know what's going on. The Lord always woke Walter up every day at the same time. Sometimes Walter knew that he needed to pray for this or intercede for that or something. The Lord would begin talking to him about something. Other times he said, all I knew is this was my watch and I had to be awake on it. And the Holy Spirit was doing something through my body as I'm awake that I just didn't need to know about. So he said, I'd turn on old movies and watch old black and white movies during that time period. It was just, on those times, what the Lord taught him is, I don't need you to know what I'm doing, I just need you awake so I can do it. And that was how the Lord taught him to understand that. But it was always his understanding when he got awake that he was now in his watch of the day and he was now to allow, and he would always be listening. So if the Lord all of a sudden, you know, there's sometimes he said he'd be just sitting there, nothing, he'd turn on a movie and all of a sudden the Lord would just start downpouring stuff into him, turn off the movie and listen to what the Lord had to say. So he was always awake, always available, always allowing the Lord to work in that time. But sometimes he didn't know that that's what was going on. Little strained, not our normal understanding of the way things work, but it's the way that God works. So were you being used of the Lord during that time? Yes. It just you didn't know what it was he was doing. And as you began to just pray, that was your way of being able to be, you know, available for the Lord to do what he needed to do. So again, what I usually see is when somebody consistently wakes up at the same time. If you've got physical problems that get you awake, you'll get up at some nights 2, sometimes 2:30, sometimes 1:30, but exact time every night on the dot. That tells me God's doing something with that. And that's usually the Lord waking us up for some reason. And that's when you need to pay attention to that. There's something the Lord's trying to do or get across to you. Again, in the beginning, you probably want to sit and say, Lord, why are you waking me up? Ask him the questions, because that's going to give him the opportunity to teach you what he's actually doing. We need to learn in that life of hiddenness, we need to learn how to keep what God is doing in and through us between us and God. Because really the glory goes to God. We're here for him to be able to use. And you learn to walk in that. There's times when God may pull you away from everything just to spend time with him. Reese Howells had, the Lord asked him to do that for 3 years. For 3 years, Reese Howells went to work, came home, went up into his room, and spent the rest of the night in his room with the Lord, and did nothing but pray, meditate, read the Word of God. 3 years, nobody saw him. The Lord told him to pull out of all of his, he was, at the time, he was working in, oh my goodness, they had all kinds of revival meetings and private, you know, personal Bible studies and group Bible studies, and he was planning a church and was very, very involved in that. The Lord said, I don't want you to do that anymore. And that, again, we need to let the Lord do these kind of things, because that doesn't register with our way of thinking as a Christian. Most Christians think, I'm in the service of the Lord, I'm serving the Lord, and this is what God wants. No, there's times God says, I don't want you doing that. I want you to pull away, and I don't want you to be involved with any of that. Drop it all and spend time with me. I had the Lord do that to me a number of years back. He said, for 1 month, I don't want you to do anything. When you're done work, you spend time with me. Don't go to church, you know, which, what? God's telling you don't go to church, it's got to be the devil. No, there's times church can be a distraction to what God's trying to do in you. Now, let the Lord lead you in that, because church is also the body of Christ, is his place to build us up and to encourage us. And just to pull out of it and use the excuse where God told me to, you better be really sure it's God telling you to do that. But when he does, do it. Enter into that time of separation unto him and consecrating yourself and your time to him. Many people I know have a time every year, an extended period of time, in which they literally set that aside and pull away from everything just to be with the Lord. They pull out of all ministry, they pull out of all outside activities, they even pull out, this is not something easy. Reese Howells pulled out of all his family events. See, being an intercessor and following the Lord can be costly to other people besides yourself. Sometimes God does ask us, see, we have these false teachings, and I'm calling them false teachings because they have really messed up the body of Christ, okay? Let me show you a false teaching that every one of you have heard, and it's false because it's totally unbiblical. How many of you have heard that?
What's the third one?
Everything else. Everything. God first, family second, and whatever else the person's trying to get. Ministry, school, whatever else. How many of you have heard that? Okay, we've all heard that. Totally unbiblical. Completely unbiblical. Why? When you're setting this priority, who's setting the priority?
Me.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Proverbs chapter 3. You're leaning on your own understanding. This is the only thing that's biblical. Scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. If that's what you're doing, what do you have left for anything else? Okay, now hear what I'm saying. If you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, what happens when God becomes first? You don't have to think about family, ministry, work, education. Why? Because God's going to tell you when to do those and at what time. See, what we do is there's two things that come here. First is the prioritization that we put on there as man. The second is those who say, well, God's first, so sorry, I can't do that. I can't spend time with you because I've got to serve God. I'm putting... That's also the wrong understanding. The understanding is, when I put God first, God's the first person I consult about every decision I have to make. So there's a family birthday party this weekend. How do I deal with that? God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go there, or do you have something else that I need to be doing? Particularly if you're like most of us and you have something in all of these areas of our lives coming up at the exact same time, how do you make that decision? Well, I can't not be with my family. If God wants you not to be with your family, you better not be with your family. You're going to make yourself and your family miserable. The way we deal with that, again, this is what we started with in this class. We always go to God first. We ask His understanding of the situation. There's times where God needs us not to be at certain family functions. There's times God needs us not to be in certain ministry functions. Okay? There's times God doesn't need us in church on Sunday morning. He needs us in a back room with Him seeking His heart about something. He needs us perhaps out in the street talking to somebody. Now, if you start never being in church on Sunday morning, I guarantee you, you haven't put God first, because God's heart is the church and the body of Christ. There are times when He asks us to go do something outside of that. There are times where He asks us and tells us, listen, I need you to spend more time on your job for right now. And it's okay. It means you're not going to have time with your family. You're going to have to put aside some ministry. Some other areas of your life are going to suffer a little bit for that. But I need you to do this for me. It's an assignment He's given you. You need to be sure that you're getting that direction from God and that you focus on that. Because at that point, you're in the will of God. See, sometimes we have the eternal war. We always think that the war in our lives is the war between good and evil. That's a battle that most of us win pretty easily. Most times. There are times in our lives where we don't win that too easily. And I don't care how old in the Lord you are. There's times where that still becomes an issue. But that is not the biggest battle we have in our lives. The biggest battle in our lives is the war between the good, the better, and the best. And far too often as Christians, we settle for the good and we neglect the best. God's calling us into the area that's best for us. And because we don't think God works that way, we have our own understanding of what priorities are in life. We would rather be satisfied with what we think is good than what God is saying is best for us. And we need the constant, the only way you're going to, this is usually pretty easy to discern. I can usually discern what's good and what's bad. You know, it's kind of plain. You see something evil and it's, you know it. This is not always easy to discern. That's why we have to be constantly in the presence of the Lord.
Can you give an example?
Good, better, and best. Okay. Spending extra hours at work, which is going to keep me from going to the EGS service or spending time with my family. Which is good, better, or best? Depends on what God's asking you to do. For me, for me personally, that usually ends up an issue of good and evil. Because if I don't have to spend time at work, that's a good thing. But there's times where God says, I need you to do this, and you don't understand why. And I have to put aside these things, which are good, and one of them's good, one of them's better. Sometimes we have a decision to make of, do I come to EGS or church on Sunday morning, or do I stay at home with my family? Both of those are good, but which one is the best? I won't know that in and of myself. Sometimes coming to church and being involved in ministry is actually sin. I love the looks on people's face with that. Why? What is sin? Sin is the understanding that I have a life of my own apart from God. God may be telling me to stay home with my family. If I come to EGS, I'm disobeying God. That's sin. Okay? Right? Okay? God may be telling me to come to EGS, but there's a team going out in the streets witnessing, and I want to go and be involved in evangelism. I go be involved in evangelism. Is being involved in evangelism evil? No, it's good. But if I go do that, I'm disobeying God. Most Christians today live in sin and disobedience to God over the good, better, and the best. Because they make their own understanding and their own choices based on what they think is right and wrong in those situations, instead of going to God and saying, God, what is your desire for this? I have two very good decisions to make in front of me. I'm not going out and I'm not going to a porn parlor and looking at pornography. I'm either going to evangelize or go to EGS. They're both good. They're both beneficial. They're both things that honor and glorify you. But I want to make sure I'm doing the one you want me to do. So we always go back to the Lord on that. Now this becomes very important because many times the Lord asks us to walk in this life of hiddenness for an extended period of time and says, I want you to pull away from all of that stuff to spend time with me. Our very being as a human and as a Christian gets shaken by that because, well, I thought the body of Christ is where I'm supposed to be. It's all about the body of Christ. And now you're telling me to hold myself back away from the body of Christ. You know, get thee behind me, Satan. We have a wrong understanding. God's saying, for this time period, I need you to separate yourself to me. And it's not wrong. It's actually wrong to go to church when God has told you to separate yourself unto him. Okay? We need to get this fact very clear in our mind. We got to go to God to understand what is right and what is wrong. And when he tells us to do that, we need to do that, even if it means pulling ourselves into a life of hiddenness. As intercessors, that's going to be just a natural part. People aren't going to see what we're doing, and there's going to be times where the Lord needs us to get away into just being alone with him. We're also going to have a life that's misunderstood. Do I really have to explain that one? When you start walking in this kind of a lifestyle where you're constantly asking the Lord what's right and wrong, people aren't going to, they're not going to understand that. As an intercessor, you go to the Lord and you say, God, what's on your heart for this person? They're sick, they have cancer, what do you want? God says, I want them to come home with me. Everybody's gathered around them praying for their healing. You go up and lay hands on them and say, Lord, release them into your presence because I know you want them to come home. They're all looking at you like, you heretic, what are you doing? You have no faith, what's wrong with you? They're not going to understand. And yet you've just heard the heart of God very explicitly. He wants them to come home. Now,
would that be wise though?
That was going to be my question. That's something that in order to really work that way, we have to grow in that. Is it wise? People aren't going to understand you. But they didn't understand Jesus. They called him Beelzebub. So it should, whether it's wise in the ways of the world, again, what's your first question in that? God, do you want me to pray over them in public out loud what you just told me? See, we get ourselves in trouble because we don't go to God for everything. We hear the heart of God. Good. You know what to pray for. Well, that means I got to go up and lay hands on them and pray for them out loud and everybody has to hear this. Is that what God's heart really is? Remember, God's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. He knows that he's able to reveal to you his heart. But he also knows that the rest of these people may not be able to handle that. So when you lay hands on them, he may just want you to pray quietly. He may need you to pray out loud. But the only person who knows that is him. And the only way you're going to know that is if you ask him. Never make assumptions because it's the way God did it before, or because Bob said I have to go ask God. You got one answer. Yes, this is how you pray. Okay, Lord, this is what I'm to pray. Now, how am I to pray that? Out loud, in public? I know there's times when we're leading the mission set, people don't really understand why I'm praying what I'm praying. I'll ask God to totally wreck and destroy a country. You're doing what? Don't you know that that's going to cause casualties of life? Yes, but that's God's heart. God says, I want to shake that country and I want to bring them to their knees so that they will understand that I am God and come to me. So what am I going to do when I go to pray for that country? Am I going to sit there and say, oh God, bless this country? God's like, I don't want to bless this country. I want to shake them. I want to destroy this country in every way possible because it's the only way that I'm going to get their attention. So what do we pray? God, shake them from the inside out. We prayed that for China. The Lord laid it on our heart one night as we were praying for China during that month. The Lord said, I want you to pray that I will shake that country from the core, from the center. The next week, there was a major earthquake in the center of China. It had nothing to do with our greatness. It had to do with God knew what he was going to do, and he wanted us as his agents on the earth to ask him to do that. We did the same thing with Nepal. We had the Lord said, pray for a shaking from, and he was very specific, pray for a shaking from the west to the east. Within the next month, I think it was, there was an earthquake in the west that was felt all the way on the eastern side of that country. I mean, it's just, we don't understand why God's doing that. And it doesn't mean that every time we pray that that's going to happen unless the Lord tells us that. But listen to what he's saying. And if he's asking you to pray something, make sure you're praying on that lines. You're not going to be understood. Don't expect people to think that you're the most wonderful person in the world. You know, if you're like my wife, she hated getting on the mic because every time she would get on that mic, she would start praying and next thing, oh! And she's like, it is so embarrassing and I know it's going to happen every time I pick up the mic. She wouldn't go on the mic for that. And yet, when she did, and she let Holy Spirit pray through her in that groaning that can't be uttered, things got broken in the atmosphere around her. And she had to learn how to just let Holy Spirit do that. A lot of people get upset with Andrew up here in the service because in the middle of the service, all of a sudden you hear this, ah! And this loud scream that just wakes everybody in the room up. And I know some people who will get angry at that. But Andrew has learned that there's when he feels that groaning inside of him, he needs to let it out. Because when he does that, something is released. Something is broken. It's Holy Spirit inside of him moving. And the way he knows it is he said, I feel it here. I feel it in my spirit. And it just rises up from my spirit and comes out of me. And that's, you're going to look weird. You're going to have things that you'll be praying and all of a sudden you just feel Holy Spirit and you start stomping and things like that. And people look at you like, what the heck are you doing? Not always, but it's, trust me, I'm German, which means I'm very stiff. The Holy Spirit's caused some weird things to happen to me too, so... It does, but as an intercessor, what happens is you actually understand what's happening and you accept it. So it just becomes kind of natural for you. Heidi Baker, who's a missionary, but an intercessor, like Heidi Baker is one of these people who, people will come to her and say, you need to start this ministry. And she says, well, I believe Holy Spirit's speaking through you, yes, but I need to look at my schedule and rearrange some time. And everyone's like, yeah, we know, you got to put more time in to fit that in. She said, no, I need to make more time for prayer so that I can cover that ministry when the Lord actually needs it to be done. She will pray up to 5 hours a day. And if the Lord asks her to do something else, she will rearrange time so she can pray more. In her prayer times, God will do some of the... This woman has crazy things happen to her when she's around. The Lord will, at one point, as she was praying and interceding on stage before she was going to speak, all of a sudden she said, I find myself upright on my head on the stage. She said that everybody thinks, oh, that must have been such an amazing experience. She said, all I'm doing is staring into the camera and the only thing going through my head is, I am so glad for pants. because she grew up in a southern, where a southern church where all they wore was dresses. She's standing on her head. She's like, I'm so glad for pants. Why is God doing this to me? Total humiliation. But in her time of intercession, Holy Spirit was doing something in that. And there's a whole prophetic thing that came out of that. But people don't understand her. People think Heidi Baker is strange. But she understands that and she's fine with that because she knows what God's doing with her. I teach this class so that when it happens to you, you understand why it's happening and you don't quite feel so bad. You're like, oh, I'm an intercessor. Ah, I got it now.
And not everybody's good to do intercession, right? Or certain people call.
Not everybody is called into the life of an intercessor. Everybody's called to prayer, spending time with the Lord. But not everybody, and you will hear differences of opinion on this, but I do not believe everybody has a call to intercession. Intercession is a very specific call in people's lives, and when you have it, you know it. And you know it because the Holy Spirit confirms that in you. Not necessarily because all these strange things happen. God tends to work with our personalities and our nature. He'll break that sometimes, but
so I guess that there's no specific guidelines as to you knowing whether you are an intercessor or not.
There's some good indications. Like when you find the things happening to you that I've been talking about, you're probably an intercessor. When you find your heart just driven not just to prayer, but driven to be before the Lord over particular situations and people, and you find yourself carrying a weight concerning those things, that's intercession. That's a call to intercession. There's certain indications of it that are in your life. Most of us who are intercessors, in the beginning, we knew there's something up, but we didn't really want to admit to that little I word. Because we kind of knew what that meant going forward. But I believe there's a lot more of us called to intercession in these end times than ever before, because there is work to be done much along the same lines of what God had Rhys Howes and his intercessors doing in South Wales during World War II. He wants to begin doing now with us. That's really what it's about. Finally, our life is a life of trusting in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we've talked about this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. You're asked to pray for things that you may not fully understand why you're praying for it. You just trust the Lord. There's times you come where you've been praying for something and the Lord says, okay, you're done. You trust him and you don't go back and pray for that. Because it's done, and to go back and pray when the Lord told you it's done would actually be sin. Think about that one. Prayer can be sin. If the Lord's told you your intercession's done, don't pray for it anymore. Let it go. You live in faith that even though you may not see the results of it, that God, what God said, that it's done. And you learn to walk in trusting the Lord in that. Usually, What I've seen is that the burden of intercession that God puts on us is usually much bigger than ourselves. And when that happens, I have to trust him. I can't carry it on my own. I don't even understand it most times. I just know that it's there. When I hear God saying, this is how I want you to pray over this particular matter, I have to trust him, even when it doesn't make sense. I don't lean on my understanding of it. I trust him that he knows what he's doing, that he understands it, and he, what he says is what needs to be done.
It's good. Just because you intercede for something doesn't mean it's going to be fulfilled, right? So you
can... It absolutely means it will be fulfilled. You just may not ever see it.
So if you're interceding for salvation for somebody, then that means it's guaranteed that they will.
If the Lord's laid that on your heart to intercede and he's given you that burden of intercession, absolutely. This is what Rhys Howes said as an intercessor. What the Lord told him is that prayer is answer. Prayer doesn't get answered. Prayer is answered. Is answer. So when the Lord lays a burden of intercession on me for the salvation of somebody, for the return of a lost child, for a particular event to happen, I know as I intercede before his throne for his will to be done on that, it will be done. I can rest on it. I may not see it, but I know it will be done. Somebody else may have the privilege of seeing the result of my intercession, but it will definitely be done.
But
yeah.
Sometimes my intercession, I do fail, and I go before the Lord, very honest and all that. But then God tells me sometimes to drop that one and to intercede just the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he does that.
So what I do with that, the one which was started.
He said drop it.
It is my intercession or that's not.
No, it just means that. It just, well, let's go on to this next section because yeah. this will make sense.
Okay.
As intercessors, we have assignments from God. So God gives us assignments as an intercessor. Those assignments may be long-term or short-term. So you may have an assignment that's just for today. God may lay on you, he may come and say, listen, I need you to intercede for this particular thing. And you pray for it. At the end of the day, all of a sudden, the burden of intercession is gone and God says, okay, you're done. And you're like, God, nothing happened. That's okay, you're done. You lay that aside and you go on to the next assignment. I've had assignments that lasted 10 minutes. I'd be at work and all of a sudden this burden of intercession would come over me, and I mean heavy, and I'm thinking, oh my, here's the next big one. So it was so strong, I'd get away, I'd run to the men's room because it's the only place in the office where it's quiet and nobody can see you do weird things in the stalls. And I would just get in there and I'd be praying and interceding before the Lord because that burden of intercession was so heavy. And I would pray for 10 minutes and all of a sudden it's gone. The Lord said, okay, you're done. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm done? I was just getting into it. He said, no, you're done. That's all I needed. So it could be for a much longer period of time. There have been people that I have been interceding for 10, 15 years and the burden of intercession still hasn't been lifted. And the Lord hasn't told me I'm done with that intercession. I'm still in the process of that. So the length of time of the assignment's really in God's hands. We can't set that.
Apparently we feelings tie, right? Then what happens if we disobey?
Then God doesn't have us. We're, God will find somebody else that will intercede for him. When God brings that burden of intercession, that's why I said we learn as an intercessor, our life is a life of obedience.
But there is no punishment for
it. You miss the blessing. Mm. Like Reese Howes was asked to intercede for the lady that had consumption. And after weighing the cost of that, he said, I can't do that. He disobeyed. God healed the woman, but Reese Howes did not receive the blessing of being associated with that healing. He lost that, and God very specifically told him, you must count this as a failure in your life. And he did. Whenever he talked about it, he said, this is a place where I failed. So there's always, within intercession, there's always a blessing, and there's something, we don't necessarily see it outwardly, but there's always a blessing that comes from obedience to the Lord in those things.
Because for certain things, I supposed to talk to someone and I supposed to, like, today, and then I don't talk, then I'm getting feelings that I missed the train.
And if that's the case, you confess that to the Lord, repent of it, you know, okay, Lord, I missed this one, I admit
still
it.
Still I'm asking, you know, give me Lord strength and give me words.
And he will.
Give me strength.
And next time he brings something, you remember that and you say, okay, I remember I missed it last time. I'm going to do it this time. And you make the choice to obey in that. It's that's what repentance is for. We recognize the mistakes we made and we turn away from making those mistakes and do it right. Now God is patient as he's growing us. If I count the number of mistakes I've made in 50 years and 30 some years of walking with the Lord, I don't know. I may have more than the stars in heaven. I'm a real dunce at times. But the Lord has always been patient because he knows what he's called me to do and he wants me to get there. So he allows my mistakes, but he wants me to learn from them. Now, there have been times where I didn't learn from the mistakes. So he put the thumb screw on me, and he made it a little harder. And he made a little, not because he wanted to cause me disgrace or anything, but he needed me to be broken in a particular area because I just was not over, I was not truly working at overcoming those mistakes. And that's how he works. But you learn to walk in his grace, and you learn to grow as a result of it. So when those assignments come, you let God determine what the length of time is. And when he says it's done, it's done. An assignment that you get may be for a person, it may be for a situation, a region, a nation. Again, whatever that is, God will bring that. I may be praying for a person for a period of time. I may be praying for something like abortion. I know people who have an assignment to pray for the breaking down of abortion. I know people who have an assignment. What's his name? Nolan out in KC. He's got an assignment to pray for the ending of human trafficking. And his whole life is revolved around that. And that assignment, who knows, the Lord may one day say, you're done. But he's been doing this for years now. It's up to the Lord what the subject of that assignment is. The assignment may be a private assignment, one that's in your closet, or it may be a very public assignment, such as Lou Engel has. So God may give you something to pray for that nobody ever knows about. He just says, I need you to pray for this, and I need you to intercede, and I need you to carry this for the time that I'm going to ask you to, and nobody will ever know that that's what you prayed for.
So intercession could be public too?
Absolutely. Lou Engel has a public call to pray over certain things. So when he was called to go to India to pray over breaking the principality over India, that was a very public thing. And he prayed in public. He gathered people to join him in that. It was a very, very public prayer time. There's, for example, Nolan, I just cannot remember his first name. But he has this assignment to pray against human trafficking. He prays about it in private, but his whole assignment is very, very public. And he's put together the documentary Nefarious. When he's in the prayer room, he leads outwardly very public prayers against human trafficking. So it could be that kind of a public assignment where you're an intercessor that gathers other intercessors and prays the call. I don't know if you've been to the call. The call was Lou Engel's assignment to pray over this nation and over certain things in this nation. Very public. Thousands of people knew about that assignment that he had. So it could be one or the either.
I think last time we were talking, you said sometimes there's people who will be close to God in heaven that we never know the name or we never see them. Does that mean that Lou Engel won't be as close because everything was public?
No. The closeness to the Lord has to do with our obedience to him.
Not with public versus private.
No. There's some people who very publicly have lived out a life of obedience to the Lord that have just honored the Lord in very great ways. They'll probably be extremely close to the Lord. There's others who have served the Lord all their lives publicly that will probably be in a much further proximity away from the Lord, but just very glad that they're there. That's all determined by our obedience, which is why it's so important to live a life of obedience. Because our rewards, our eternal rewards, are really based on our obedience to the Lord. And that's not an easy thing to say. It's being obedient to the Lord is difficult because there's a whole lot of outward things that come upon us that influence us in that. An assignment may also be recognized or fought against. God may call you to pray for a person either publicly or privately, and that person may not want to acknowledge that. I know intercessors who the Lord has said, I need you to pray over this particular pastor. And they went to that pastor and they said, the Lord has asked me to intercede on your behalf, to be an intercessor for you, and I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be covering you, so if there's things you need me to pray for, do that. And the pastor absolutely flatly turned them away and said, no, no way. I mean, it could be rejected. People may not accept the assignment that the Lord's called you to, but that doesn't change the fact that the Lord has called you to that. Those intercessors have had to intercede for those people that rejected them without that person really recognizing that that's the call that the Lord had for them.
So the purpose for speaking to them will be, you know, to be more direct as to what to pray for?
Yeah, if somebody is, I have a couple people that are, I have one person in particular that's a personal intercessor of mine. And nobody knows about this person. They don't even know that they do that for me.
And they cover you?
They cover me, as an intercessor. I know that they've accepted that, they've recognized that call in their life for me. So when I have things that I need, that I know I need to have a particular covering for, I'll let them know about it and they'll cover me. There's people that Amita and I have that recognize the Lord's assignment to cover us as a couple. And Amita will constantly, when things come up, she'll let them know about it so that they can cover us on that. It's an assignment that they have. And it's interesting when we think back over how the Lord revealed some of those people to us. But it helps when intercession becomes a little easier when you have a little fuel for the fire and understand what's going on in someone's life. Otherwise, what you're relying on is Holy Spirit to lead you and stuff. And Holy Spirit will do that. And there's many times where intercessors who are praying for a particular person, Holy Spirit will reveal something in their life and they'll call the person up and say, you know, I was praying for you and God revealed this particular thing. And the person's like, how did you know that? Because they told nobody. So whether it's accepted or not doesn't change the assignment. So also, when God gives you that assignment, ask him if it's something, particularly if it's for a person, ask him if that's something that you need to let the person know about. God may ask you to intercede and cover a person without wanting that person to know that, because God knows the heart of the person. So always ask the Lord what you should do. Again, going back to that, you always ask the Lord what to do with those things. People may fight against that. Remember that when God reveals something to you, the revelation he's given you is for prayer, not to talk to other people about. And that's something that Christians are not too careful about. We have this way of gossiping that makes it look very, very right. Oh, brother, I need you to pray. I want to ask you to pray for this person because they're just really going through a lot. And the Lord has shown me that this and this and this is going on. We just need to pray for them. Well, God didn't reveal that to you to go talk to somebody else about. He revealed it to you to talk to him about. And when you go and talk to somebody else about it, you're gossiping. And the prayer chain in most churches is really just the gossip line. Because, oh, so-and-so is doing this, this, and this. We need to pray for them. Well, so-and-so, God may not have wanted that thing that he asked you to pray for to become public. He's asking you as his intercessor to take that assignment and bring it before him and him alone. Always ask the Lord what to do with those assignments. Is it something you can talk about? Because that's one of the difficult things as an intercessor. Sometimes God burdens us with assignments of intercession that we can't talk to anybody about. We carry it alone. And it's because God needs us to do that for him. So we have to constantly be going back and asking him for that. Now, important to remember is that assignments are given by God. Don't try to take on an assignment yourself because you feel like it. It could actually cause you harm spiritually. If God doesn't give you an assignment, don't take it. God's prepared somebody else to do that. You live a life of trusting him. if you take on that assignment, I can guarantee you from personal experience, you will get hurt. You could. It could cause you physical harm. You could get hurt spiritually. You don't always have to carry everything, and some things you weren't meant to carry. And because remember, as an intercessor, you're bearing a weight of something and carrying that with you. And if that was not meant for you to carry, you will actually cause yourself harm in doing that. And again, trust me, I'm speaking out of personal experience in this. If the Lord doesn't give you that assignment, don't pick it up. Remember Jesus' answer to John, or to Peter, concerning John. The last chapter of John, where Jesus is restoring Peter with the three questions, "Do you love me?" At the end of that, it says that Peter looked and saw the disciple that Jesus loved. And he said to Jesus, "What about him?" And what was Jesus' answer? "If I choose to allow him to live until I return again, what is that to you? You do what I've told you to do." And that needs to be our response to those assignments. You may see something that really kind of touches you as a person. And you're saying, "God, I want to pray for this. I want to intercede for this." And God says, "No, I need you to intercede for this." "But then, God, what about this?" Well, don't worry about that. I have that. Someone else will take that burden. You don't need to carry it. You know, we don't have to be God's answer to everything. God has other people that are there to do that. So we want to understand what our assignment is. So throughout this week, sit before the Lord and ask him what assignment he has given you. And it may be one, it may be two, it may be three, and you may not even have realized that some of the things that you're feeling and praying over have actually been assignments from the Lord. He'll reveal that to you and make that plain to you. And he may actually reveal certain things and you're going to be like, "Well, God, I've been praying about this. Is this thing here an assignment?" I said, "No, I never gave that to you." If the Lord reveals that to you, let it go. He's got somebody else to cover that. Even if it's something that's very near and dear to you, let that go. Okay, the Lord may have you not pray for your family members for salvation. Okay, that seems heretical. I know, I said a lot of heretical stuff tonight. I'm going to duck out of here before the stones get picked up outside. If God didn't give you that assignment as an intercessor, don't. And don't feel bad about it. Because God may have somebody else in your family or somebody else elsewhere to be praying for them. Now, is that saying don't be concerned about your family's salvation and don't, you know, in your times of communion with the Lord, talk to him about that? Talk to the Lord about everything. You know, I'm talking about specific assignments of intercession. Remember, intercession's more than just communing with the Lord. In your time of communing with the Lord, in personal time with him, you're going to find the ability to release all kinds of things before him, including the concern for your family for salvation and the concern for your family for things that they're going through. That time of communion with the Lord is the time to talk to him about those things. And that's really what it should be. I will sit before the Lord at times and I just talk to him about my family and have a discussion with him about my family. But that's what it is. But if the Lord hasn't put a burden of intercession on me to intercede for them, which means not only am I talking to him about that, but I'm carrying upon myself the weight of the answer to that prayer. I'm carrying on myself everything that the Lord needs to do to bring that prayer, the answer to that prayer, to fruition. That may not be for me to carry. And we need to seek the Lord on what assignments we have, and we need to focus on interceding for those particular assignments. Again, remember there's a difference between intercession and prayer. Okay? That's what we've been trying to focus on. So in your times of prayer, talk to the Lord about everything. He's your closest friend. And if you can't talk to him, you'll never have anybody to talk to about it. You can pour your heart out about anything you want in that. As the Lord gives you assignments for intercession, though, you're going to be carrying that with you everywhere you go. And it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. As an intercessor, you long for that. And you it just becomes a natural way of life. But when he lifts that, let it go. When he says the assignment's done, let it go. When he doesn't give you a particular assignment, don't take it. He's got something else for you. Okay? Any questions? Not right now? Saving them up for the 19th. Write them all down. Okay. So next week we are going to cover chapter 8 rather quickly and finish up chapter 9. I am not going to go through chapter 10. You can read that on your own, mostly because most people have been through my spiritual warfare class, and it's really just a real recap of that, and with a little bit more emphasis of how that applies to intercessors. So if you want to read through that, you can. Okay, and next week I need you to hand in the paper for the course. Now, let me just re-emphasize what the paper is. Over the last 12 weeks, you've been reading various scripture passages about prayer that talked about prayer, what it is, how it's done, who did it, what answers came. All that stuff was in those passages. All I want you to do is give me a brief summary of, from everything that you've read in all of those passages, what is your understanding of what prayer is now? Okay? Does that?
So that's page 49?
It's what it's all the passages you've been reading from page 49 to the end of the book. It just, again, those were the reading to give you an understanding of what Scripture says about prayer. You can give me one paragraph that summarizes your understanding of prayer based on what you've read. If you want to give me more, I'll read it. But it really is just a summary of everything you've read in Scripture. What do you now understand Scripture's teaching about prayer? That's it. Okay?
Biblical theology of prayer.
Yeah. Make sense? Okay. Is everybody greatly relieved that you don't have 25 pages 49. To write?
Yesterday's paper, I was greatly relieved. I'm done with the paper.
Yes, yesterday's was a little different. Okay.